Yes, Priti Vilasini Mataji, we are very, very fortunate to hear from her topic, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Part 1, Introduction. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your recitation. Please take over this call. Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you so much, Anjana, for coming. Okay. For everyone on the call. Thank you all.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, if you have joined from the host log, and can you put everybody on mute?
Yes, ma'am. Everybody on mute. I'm sorry. Okay. So, thank you all so much for joining. To everyone on the call. So we'll start off with today's session with prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we will be beginning our series on the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So we will go through this work of Srila Sanatan Goswami, and this work is in two parts, two separate stories actually. And the entire work is so large, so we will do it slowly so that we cover all the important aspects of this book. Am I loud enough? Is everyone able to hear me?
Mataji, can you be loud, more loud, Mataji? It's a little bit low, Mataji.
Okay, now is it better?
Yes, Mataji.
Is it? Okay. So today we will be beginning our series on Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and this is a work by Srila Sanatan Goswami. So first of all, I want to say very honestly, I'm not really qualified to be reading this book, but this is just a humble attempt so that we can all together discuss this beautiful work of Srila Sanatan Goswami. I was requested by Her Grace Kamudiki Mataji and Kirtida Sundari Mataji if we could do this series. And because of their encouragement, we have started this series. We will limit the classes to 45 minutes only per session. Again, this was on request, so that we have enough time for discussion. The rest of the 15 minutes, all of us can discuss, hear everyone's inputs and realizations. So together, hope we can relish and appreciate this wonderful contribution of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So for this series, we will be using the book Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This is translated by Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu, and it is a BBT publication. I think it's many of you may be having it at home. It's a 3-volume book. Besides this, we will be using the very well-put study guide given by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. It's a very beautiful study guide which helps us go through the entire Bhagavatamrita, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. We will also be following seminars given by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Very importantly, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, which I will be following a lot, and Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj. There are also seminars by Kamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu, and many other devotees who have given talks on this book. You can find many lectures on YouTube. So what I will be doing is, I will just be collaborating all the content and repeating whatever they have shared in their seminars. So I'll do the Mangalacharan, and then we can get into more details. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೀಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ಸಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರೂಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಾನಾಥ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಡೂ ಒನ್ ಪ್ರಣಾಮ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಸನಾತನ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಯುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿರಸಂ ಪ್ರಯತ್ನೈರ್ ಅಪಯನ್ ಮಾಂ ಅನಭಿಕ್ಷು ಮಂದನ್ ಕೃಪಾಂಬುದೀರ್ಯ ಪರ ದುಃಖ ದುಃಖಿ ಸನಾತನ್ ತಂ ಪ್ರಭು ಆಶ್ರಯಾಮಿ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಮಂತ್ರ, ಪ್ರಣಾಮ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ಗಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಶಿಲಾ ರಘುನಾಥ್ ದಾಸ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವಿಲಪ ಕುಸುಮಾಂಜಲಿ. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ರಿಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಸೀಕಿಂಗ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸನಾತನ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಬುಕ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಪ್ರೊಸೀಡ್ ಫರ್ದರ್. ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರಣಾಮ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ವಿಲ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡ್ರಿಂಕ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ರಸ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಲೇಸ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ರಿನೌನ್ಸಿಯೇಷನ್. But Srila Sanatan Goswami, being an ocean of mercy, who cannot tolerate the sufferings of others, induced me to drink it. Therefore, I take shelter of Srila Sanatan Goswami as my Siksha Guru. So today will be the very first session of the series, and we will get into some introduction about Sanatan Goswami, who is the author of this book, and an introduction on this entire work, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So that is what we will be doing today. We will not get into the details, but we will just get into introduction. And the introduction itself is really big. So we'll first get to know some details about Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami, as we all know, he is one of the senior most among the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Whatever we know about Srila Sanatan Goswami comes to us from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also there is another work, which is Narahari Chakravarti's Bhakti Ratnakar. So from these two books, we get to know some details about Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was born in 1488, which is just 2 years after Lord Chaitanya. So he's just 2 years younger than Lord Chaitanya. He and his brothers, they were direct disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhakti Ratnakar, which works on the biography of Srila Sanatan Goswami, it traces six generations of Sanatan Goswami's lineage. Sanatan Goswami was born in a respectable Brahmin family from Karnataka, and his great-grandfather by the name Rupeshwara, he migrated to the east, and his Sanatan Goswami's grandfather, Padmanabha, he settled on the bank of river Ganga at Naihati. So then Sanatan Goswami's father, Sri Kumar, he moved further east and he settled in Jessore district in Bangladesh. So this is how the family, some six generations back, they migrated from Karnataka, and they moved towards West Bengal and Bangladesh. So this Sri Kumar, who is actually the father of Sanatan Goswami, had several sons. He had many, many sons. But the last three of them were very, very famous. They were named Amara, Santosh, and Vallabha. So Amara became Sanatan Goswami, Santosha became Rupa, and Vallabha became Anupama later. So, Amar, Santosh, and Vallabh, all the three of them, they were devotees from a very small age. Amar and Santosh were especially attracted to Krishna, while Sri Vallabha was attracted to Lord Ram. So, Sanatan Goswami, or Amara. He's the author of this book, so we'll get into more details about him. He was absorbed in devotion of Lord Krishna from his childhood, and he was always immersed in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam since he was a small boy. So all the brothers, they were extremely competent, they were well-versed in scriptures, and also they were very good managers. They had a lot of, they were very talented, and not only were they good in scriptures, but they were also very good managers. So as they grew up, the Nawab of Bengal, Hussein Shah, they noticed these qualities of the three brothers. So he appointed Amar as the prime minister, Santosh as the assistant minister, and Vallabha as the treasurer. So what happened was, all these three brothers, they worked in the Muslim government in those days. So because they were working with the Muslim government, they had to adopt Muslim names, and hence Amar came to be known as Sakara Malik, Santosh came to be known as Dabir Khas. So although they were working for Muslims, they were very, very absorbed in their devotional services, and they maintained, they were very rich actually. They had huge estates and they had a lot of wealth in their family. But they maintained their wealthy estate in a suitable manner, in such a way that it was a nice place for remembering Krishna all the time. So they replicated the entire Vrindavan in the place that they were staying. So that's how, they were maintaining their house so that they could remember Krishna all the time. Eventually, they heard about Lord Chaitanya. They heard about Lord Chaitanya, about his pastimes, about his activities, and they were very enthusiastic to somehow or the other get an audience with Lord Chaitanya. So what they did is, they began to correspond through letters to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this went on for some time. And finally, they got an opportunity to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a place called as Ramkeli. So this happened after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he started traveling. So that's when they got an opportunity to meet him at a place called as Ramkeli. When they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there in person, they received their respective names. So Sakara Malik was given the name Sanatan. Dabir Khas was now named Rupa. So this is how they got their names from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there were three transitions. First, we saw their names during the birth time. Then we saw their names when they were working for the Muslim government. Then their names were changed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they received their new names as Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Anupam. So these were the names that were changed after their meeting with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this meeting is actually described in great detail in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we have actually read these chapters in Madhya Leela already. So eventually what happened with Sanatan Goswami was that Sanatan Goswami, he lost interest in the work that he was doing for the government. And he often started applying for sick leave because he was so immersed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He was so influenced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he wanted to dedicate his life to devotional service. So what he used to do is he used to have spiritual discourses in his house and he used to never turn up for government service. So he completely stopped showing up for work at one point. So the Nawab, he came to know about this. He came to know that Sanatan Goswami was actually not sick. He had stopped coming totally. And he figured out that Sanatan Goswami was perfectly fine, and he was having Krishna Katha in his house. But however, he would never come to work. So Sanatan Goswami was arrested by the Nawab. The Nawab caught him and put him in prison. He didn't want Sanatan Goswami to leave his government services. He didn't want Sanatan Goswami to escape from work. So somehow or the other, the Nawab wanted him to do government services. So what he did is, instead of just leaving Sanatan Goswami, he put him inside prison. So to make a very long story short, because we have heard about Sanatan Goswami, I'm going to reduce the content of the story. And ultimately, Sanatan Goswami, he escaped from prison by bribing the prisoner, and he ran away from prison, and the prisoner let him. There's a story around how he managed to bribe the prisoner and he escaped. Then Sanatan Goswami went to Kashi or Benares, where he met Lord Chaitanya again, and Lord Chaitanya instructed him on the aspects of pure devotional service. So that is what we are actually learning in the Sanatan Siksha chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are seeing this chapter about the science of devotional service that was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami. That's where we are in Chaitanya Charitamrita during the rest of the days. This is the portion that we are covering. So Sanatan Goswami was instructed by Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya empowered Sanatan Goswami to go and spread the Vaishnava teachings and write authoritative books in the Sampradaya. Not only that, he was also entrusted with the task of uncovering all the holy places in Vrindavan. So then, ultimately, Sanatan Goswami proceeded and he joined Rupa Goswami, who had already reached Vrindavan. So while Sanatan Goswami was in Vrindavan, he authored many, many books, of which four are very important. So I will name these four books. One book that is very important is Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Hari Bhakti Vilas is a standard smriti or a handbook for devotional practices for the followers of Mahaprabhu. The second work of Sanatan Goswami that is very important and famous is Vaishnava Toshini Dashama Tippani, that is 10th canto commentaries of Srila Sanatan Goswami, considered very, very sweet. Very sweet commentaries on the 10th canto. The third important book of Srila Sanatan Goswami is Krishna Leela Stava. Krishna Leela Stava is a poetic summary of the first half of the 10th canto that describes Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And the fourth major work of Srila Sanatan Goswami, which is considered extremely important, is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So that is the book that we are talking about. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a set of two different stories. There are a total of 2,514 verses composed by Srila Sanatan Goswami. And as the name itself suggests, it presents the essential teachings of the Bhagavatam. So Brihad means the great. Bhagavatamrita is the nectar of the Bhagavatam. So, you see what Srila Prabhupada has to say about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 5203, he remarks, Srila Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, the teacher of the science of devotional service, wrote several books of which Brihad Bhagavatamrita is very, very famous. Anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna must read this book. Sanatan Goswami also wrote a special commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, known as the Dashama Tippani, which is also excellent. And by reading that, one can understand very deeply the pastimes of Krishna in his exchanging of loving activities. So in another purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in Antya Leela, Prabhupada writes, 481, he writes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accomplish many purposes through the endeavors of Srila Sanatan Goswami. First, Sanatan Goswami compiled a book called as Brihad Bhagavatamrita to teach the people how to become devotees, execute devotional service, and attain love of Krishna. Secondly, he compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, wherein he collected authoritative scriptural injunctions regarding how a Vaishnava should behave. Only by the endeavors of Srila Sanatan Goswami, all the lost places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan area were excavated. He established the Madan Mohan Temple, the first deity in Vrindavan area, and by his personal behavior, he taught how one should act in the renounced order, completely devoted to the service of the Lord. By his personal example, he taught people how to stay in Vrindavan to execute devotional service. The principal mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to preach Krishna consciousness. Mathura and Vrindavan are the abodes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, these two places are very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to develop their glories through Sanatana Goswami. So this is the glory of Sanatana Goswami, and this is the glory of this book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now, something about Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is very important for us to understand. We should understand that Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So first of all, it is not a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is a distilled essence. So Bhaktichara Maharaj, he describes this very, very nicely. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. All of us agree, right? We have heard this many times. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Krishna himself. Bhagavatam has 12 cantos. The first and second canto, they represent the lotus feet of the Lord. The third and fourth canto, they talk about the thighs of the Lord. The fifth one represents abdomen. Sixth, chest. Seventh and eighth cantos represent arms of the Lord. Ninth canto represents neck of the Lord. Tenth is the smiling lotus-like face. The face is the tenth. The 11th is the forehead. And the 12th canto is the head of the Lord. So, this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. So, to really understand Krishna, you should understand Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know this. Now, if someone asks you, which is the most important of part of a person, or how do you actually recognize a person? If you ask that, obviously the answer is you recognize a person not by his thighs or not by his arms. You actually recognize a person by his face, right? The face is the actual identity of the Lord. And this face is revealed in the 10th canto. So the samam bonam or the ashraya, which is Krishna, is revealed in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam establishes this identity of the Supreme Lord as Krishna. So in the 10th canto, when you see, you will understand who the Supreme Personality of God it is. Who is it? It is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So 10th canto gives revelation on the identity of the Lord. So in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, he has systematically established the actual purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is glorified. So we know that there is Dwaraka Leela, Mathura Leela, Vraja Leela, all this we know. But we all also know that Vrindavan Leela is actually the highest. Vrindavan Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami elaborates on that point. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita has two parts. The first part is Narada Muni search for the greatest devotee of the Lord. And the second part is the journey of a boy known as Gopakumar, his journey back to the spiritual world, Goloka. So, little background about this work. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi that he would leave his body in 7 days, he went to the bank of river Ganges and he was preparing there to leave his body. At that time, Shukadev Goswami came by and he instructed Parikshit. That instruction is Srimad Bhagavatam. We know that. Now, upon hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, Parikshit became very, very peaceful. He fixed up his mind on Krishna. He became very fearless of any material calamity. So at that time, when he was ready, he was all set to give up his body, at that time, his mother, Uttara Devi, she came to him and she asked her son, at this time when you're leaving your body, you have received so much instruction from Shukadev. So please tell me your understanding, the essence of whatever you have heard. Shukadev spoke for 7 days. So Uttara Devi, she went to Parikshit and she asked him to tell her the real instruction of what he had heard in 7 days from Shukadev Goswami. So just like how butter comes out from churning buttermilk or milk, when you churn the ocean of milk, finally nectar comes out. Similarly, the essential nectar of what is there in Srimad Bhagavatam is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Parikshit Maharaj narrates to his mother the stories, which is actually the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is actually the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam had been narrated by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj noticed that his mother Uttara was sitting there and she was lamenting. She was shedding tears of pain because her son was about to leave his body. And naturally, as a mother, she was very, very aggrieved. And seeing this, Parikshit Maharaj consoled his mother and told her, "Why are you lamenting? I have received the topmost knowledge from my spiritual master and I have become completely free from fear and lamentation due to this body." So at that time, Uttara Devi, she saw how steady her son was. And then at that time, she asked Parikshit Maharaj, "Please tell me everything that you have learned from your spiritual master." So then Parikshit Maharaj started to tell her that, I will tell you the essential nectar of what I had heard from Shukadev Goswami. So this narration of what Parikshit Maharaj told his mother is actually the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj, and after assimilating the understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually gave the nectar, the essential portion of Srimad Bhagavatam as Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So one must not think that Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a fantasy or a cooked up story or some kind of fiction novel. This Brihad Bhagavatamrita was written by Sanatan Goswami, and he admits in the book that he actually did not write it by himself out of his own imagination. He says that he simply held a pen and somebody else made him do the writing. And immediately he also admits who that person was who was making him write this book. It was the Lord himself, Lord Madan Mohan, his worshipable deity. It was Krishna who was making him write the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and he admits that all that he was doing was just holding the pen. So Sanatan Goswami, he also gives a auto commentary for the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So this is very unusual. If you're trying to write some fiction novel, you wouldn't be giving a commentary on it, right? So we should understand that the entire Brihad Bhagavatamrita was dictated by Lord Madan Mohan, and Sanatan Goswami just penned it down. So that's why he wrote a commentary, and he takes credit for the commentary, but he says the text itself was not written by me. It is a work of Madan Mohan. So that's why, because Sanatan Goswami felt that he needed to explain what Madan Mohan told him, he wrote a commentary called as Digdrashini, that's also embedded in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And Sanatan Goswami, he feels actually very bad in some places. He laments in the book, saying that, I have so much audacity. I'm writing this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It deals with all the confidential aspects of all the devotees of Krishna. He said, how dare I can enter into Krishna's inner chambers? And, how can I judge who is a greater devotee than the other? Because that's what the book is about. It's going to talk about different devotees. So he's like, how do I have the audacity to actually judge devotees? Who am I to judge? How can I find faults and defects in devotional service of Krishna's eternal associates like Rukmini, Satyabhama, Uddhava, all of them? So it's not me. It's only the Lord. And I am just writing the work. So he makes this point very clearly again and again. So we should also understand that this is not his imagination. So however, the purpose of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is to give the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is another very important consideration. As it is, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the entire Vedas. The Vedas have been compared to a Kalpa Vriksha, desire tree, and the ripened fruit of that desire tree is Srimad Bhagavatam. So now, that ripened fruit has been blended with the nectar from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of the Vedas, but that Srimad Bhagavatam has been further digested and blended with the lotus lips of Shukadev Goswami. That Srimad Bhagavatam that has been consumed by Parikshit Maharaj, he is now presenting. So therefore, Brihad Bhagavatamrita can be considered as one of the greatest scriptures because it is a digested aspect of the Srimad Bhagavatam. okay, the whatever is coming from the lips of Shukadev Goswami that has been consumed by Parikshit, it has been digested, and now Parikshit presents it to his mother. There's one more thing that is very important for us to know, is that there are actually two Bhagavatamritams. One is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and the other one is Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So, Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Lagu means light and concise. Brihat means large or great. So, Brihad Bhagavatamrita was written by Sanatan Goswami, and Lagu Bhagavatamrita was written by Srila Rupa Goswami. In Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami, what he did was, he collected some of the most important verses of Srimad Bhagavatam in order to present the essence of Bhagavatam. However, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami narrates a story. He actually narrates two stories of two saints, two Parivrajakas, that means two wandering saints. So even though it sounds like a story, we understand that the Puranas, even Puranas, they are also in a story format. So we understand that though Brihad Bhagavatamrita is presented in a story format, these are actually not stories, because scriptural descriptions are not stories, but they are facts. Okay. So these are not stories, but they are facts. And Srila Rupa Goswami also acknowledges this, and he talks about his indebtedness to his elder brother for this wonderful book of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which actually serves as the inspiration for his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, Rupa Goswami, in his, we have heard of Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami, before he wrote the Nectar of Devotion, in his introduction, he first thanks his brother Sanatan Goswami for giving this book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, we can understand from this that this was one of the earliest books. Brihad Bhagavatamrita was one of the earliest books composed by our Goswamis, even before Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu came out by Rupa Goswami. So, as I already mentioned, there are two parts in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The first part, Narada Muni, he goes on a quest to find out who has received the most mercy from the Supreme Lord. So he visits various devotees, he talks with them, and then gradually with the discussion with various devotees, he gets directed up. He goes higher and higher, and then he meets some of the topmost devotees who are the recipients of the Lord's mercy. So the Lord is actually causeless. He gives mercy to everyone, but he gives mercy in a reciprocal sense. That's why there's this verse, Ye yata mam prabhatyante tam sataiva jamyaham. That means, as they surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. So we understand that all the devotees are important. All the devotees are very dear to the Lord. The Lord loves everybody. But still, there are some devotees who are considered topmost in that sense. In the sense that the reciprocal love is to a greater extent. So this is the first half of the book, the dealing of the first half of the book. In the second part, there is a journey of a cowherd boy called as Gopakumar. He goes from one place to the other. He travels to different places in the universe. He travels to different planetary systems. He interacts with various devotees. Sometimes he even interacts with various forms of the Lord. Like that, he moves on from one place to the other, and through his travels, he understands which is the highest abode of the Lord. So in both stories, the respective heroes, Narada and Gopakumar, they are going on a search. They are trying to explore the mystery of higher fulfillment. What is real selfless devotional service? So Narada, on one hand, he has a vast experience of this entire universe. Of course, we know he's the transcendental spaceman. So he's gone everywhere. He's got so much experience. He's also trying to find out. On the other hand, Gopakumar, he's a very naive, illiterate boy from a village. He's also trying to find out. So there are two different people, two different heroes in two different stories. Both of them are actually trying to find out the same thing. Okay, one is seeing who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. The other person is seeing which is the highest abode of the Lord and who is actually receiving the Lord's mercy. So all these secrets are there in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in 100% story format. So that's the beauty of this book. It is a very, very nice, relishable story. And the entire work of Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Goswami not only tells story, but he also makes it a point to cite various references from Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, and many, many Puranas. So he gives a factual understanding of this concept of who receives the highest mercy of the Lord, who is the most confidential devotee of the Lord, and which is the most confidential or the best abode of the Supreme Lord. So we have 5 more minutes. I want to discuss the basic structure of this book. This is not something we should really remember, but I just want to give an overview of how the book has been put up by Sanatan Goswami. So the basic structure is divided into 2 parts. This book is divided into 2 parts. The first part is called as Purva or preliminary, and the second book is called as the Uttara or the final part. The other name for the Purva or the preliminary part is Sri Bhagavat Kripa Nirdhara. That means to determine the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. The second part is called Establishing the Glory of Goloka Vrindavan. So these are the 2 parts of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and there are 7 chapters in the first part. The 7 chapters are earthly, heavenly, beyond material nature, devotee, dear devotee, dearer devotee, and the recipient of complete mercy. This is how book 1 has been laid out. There are 7 chapters in book 2 or the second story. The 7 chapters are renunciation, knowledge, devotional service, Vaikuntha, love, fulfillment of ultimate desire, and attainment of highest bliss. So this is how the chapter names are given in these 2 books. We don't have to remember each name. I just wanted to tell you the structure. Now, the questions of Uttara Devi, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, is the basis of this entire scripture. Later, after this conversation between Parikshit and Uttara, and after Parikshit gave up his body, later Maharishi Jaimini, who had heard this conversation from Uttara Devi and Parikshit, he had heard it. So this Jaimini Maharishi later narrated this story, the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, to Janamejaya, who is the son of Parikshit. Therefore, this can be considered to be a part of Mahabharata also. Okay, but it's not Vaishampayana's Mahabharata. It is Jaimini's version of Mahabharata. This is how the Acharyas have given us the authenticity of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So in both parts, there is a Parivrajaka, that is a wandering person, who describes his own experience while he's traveling to different parts of the universe. So the first part is Narada Muni, and the second part is the story of Gopakumar. So this is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is only an introduction. So once we get into the work, we'll get into some real beautiful nectarian stories. We'll understand what devotional service is. We'll understand how devotees reciprocate with the Lord. So any realizations, comments, or you have anything to share, please go ahead. Thank you for your patient listening. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Let me go ahead, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your beautiful preliminary narration of Srimad Bhagavatamrita. It was really nice that how you laid down, you know, that what's there in the book and how we have to approach and in what mood we have to approach. So I just have one question about, you described that about the first and the second part. Can you just describe what's there in the third part of Bhagavatamrita?
There is no third part. There is only two parts. But when the book came out, the BBT book of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you have a copy, you will see that the entire book has been written in three sets of books. Like, you know,
I have that volume.
So overall, the story-wise, there are only two stories, two parts. But it has been written down in a matter of three separate books. That's all.
Oh, so that means there are only 40. I have, you know, trust me, I have not even opened it. So it's both the books have seven chapters each, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Both the stories have seven chapters each. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Madhavi. And can you tell me again the name of that rishi who narrated this to Janmaja?
Jaimini. And it's interesting because, yeah, Jaimini is generally not considered a very theistic saint. So this is very interesting to see how Sanatana Goswami, because Jaimini has always written the Purva Mimamsas, comments on the Vedanta part or talking about theistic sciences. So it's very interesting how Sanatana Goswami actually reveals the other side of Jaimini. And this is something that all the, Maharajas like Bhakti Chara Maharaj, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, even Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj, all of them, they were commenting on this. So we don't know many things, but Sanatana Goswami has revealed the other side of Jaimini. And it was very interesting for people to see that. Yeah. So we have always seen only one side of Jaimini.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And Mahabharat. The other interesting aspect that they mention is that, you know, Mahabharat, again, we know Vaishampayana's Mahabharat, but there is also a version of Jaimini's Mahabharat. Of course, that we don't have access to, but Sanatana Goswami says it as a fact. It is there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Priti Lakshmi Acharya. Very, very nice. We have put the introduction together. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamodaki Mataji. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your encouragement and inspiring all of us to read well. Thank you.
Yeah, I really listen. I heard it and I read it. This is very wonderful. It's true. So, this was nice. Mataji. Thank you for taking up the task. And I am indebted to you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Priti Vilasni Mataji, you said that Sanatana Goswami also wrote a commentary on Srimad, Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Yeah.
What's the name of
your
book?
It's actually Drik Darshini. He says it like that. And Gopi Paranadana Prabhu has included the commentaries in his own words in the book that you have. He's done it along with the commentary. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mataji. I hope I've unmuted everyone because in between I'm muting some but people. I don't even remember whom I muted.
No, Mataji, actually nobody was muted because you muted and then at the same time we were unmuted.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti, Dalvat Pranams. Dalvat Pranams to all devotees. Such a wonderful treatise on the introduction to Bhagavatamrita. But I have few basic questions, which were always lingering in my mind. I can benefit with your counsel. So you said that Brihad Bhagavatamrita is actually, in one sense, a realization of Parikshit Maharaj, account to his mother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what he, when he heard the Bhagavatam, and that's what mm-hmm. he narrated to his mother, right? So I just have a question, Preeti. Like, so where in the Bhagavatam does Gopakumar appear? Is his name, given explicitly, or is it in a very covert form, that we don't know explicitly? And also the part you said the first part which deals with Narada, and where what canto of Bhagavatam is it explained, or did Parikshit Maharaj use this as a backdrop to explain the Bhagavatam to his mother? So can you please throw some light on this?
Yes, Mataji. So first of all, it is not anywhere in the Bhagavatam. It is a distilled essence of the message of the Bhagavatam. So that has been put forth through a story which was approved by Mother Mohan and later penned down by Sanatan Goswami. Okay. So the story itself does not appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, this is the essence of the understanding of what who Krishna is, what a devotee is, what are the different reciprocal loving relationships that a devotee has with Krishna, how the devotees are, what are the secrets of the devotees. So this is not really there in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam was meant for a kind of audience. Okay, so many details were not described, but this is. When Parikshit assimilated the Bhagavatam and he understood the essence, what is actually Shukadev trying to say, who Krishna is, what is a bhakta, what is bhakti, who is Krishna, that's when it comes out as the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And what was the other part of the question you asked?
The other part of the question was again about you just explained me about Gopakumar. The same thing about Narada. You said the first part deals with Narada, right? Narada's
So even the first part of the story is not there in the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. It is not there. But we should understand, we can even consider this as a separate scripture, because it was done at a separate time, independent of the Bhagavatam. Separate time in the sense it is completely independent of the Srimad Bhagavatam in one sense, but it is actually the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The storyline or the conversation is independent of the conversation that they had in the Bhagavatam. Make sense?
Yeah. Would it be right for me to understand? Is Gopakumar a character that Parikshit Maharaj introduced to explain his mother, or is he a fictional character in the story, or does Gopakumar is he a real devotee? I had this question too. So can you throw some light?
Yes, Mataji, that's something that I was addressing, saying that we really don't take it as fiction. We understand that it is a real character, otherwise Madan Mohan wouldn't reveal it again to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami also makes that point. We don't really take it as a fictional character. We don't see it that way. We understand if Sanatan Goswami, has been given this information by Madan Mohan and he's written it down, we take it to be something real.
So are you meaning to say, Preeti, that when Parikshit narrated to his mother, it was Gopakumar, this was the exact same story, or the Lord Madan Mohan revealed this to Sanatan Goswami, that such a character, Gopakumar, was there, such a devotee? So
it's the same story, Mataji, because in the beginning verses after Mangalacharan, you will see the context of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Parikshit Maharaj and his mother are actually conversing in the beginning. And then Parikshit Maharaj says that this is a story that had happened, and he begins the story. So we understand it is the same story. Yes, there are many speculations where one can think it to be a fictional story, but still we accept this as real, because it has been it's been authorized, Sanatan Goswami, he goes to great lengths to say how the entire story had come about. He gives you a huge history. He says how after Shukadev Goswami had spoken to Parikshit Maharaj had digested it, and then it came out as from him to his mother, and then from there Jaimini picked it up and he went and told Janamejaya. And it was then passed down. I mean, it was lost for a while, and again Madan Mohan revealed it to Sanatan Goswami. So we see, when we talk about Vyasadeva's works also, we understand it is reality. When we talk about Puranas, though it is a revelation to Vyasadeva in his meditation, or, you know, you can see many of the great rishis, when they pen down Puranas or when they write Itihasas, we understand in one sense, yes, it's a revelation to them, but it is a revelation by God and it happened. So the same mood we take Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Did that somehow answer you, Mataji?
Yes, Preeti, your points were very nice. And of course, there are subtle differences when we read Puranas like Ramayana or Mahabharata, because we do have some references, you know, in other scriptures to it also. So, I mean, like to say, and I also totally agree that this is not a fictitious piece of work. This, you know, Gopa Kumar, a character that's being used to explain the philosophical concepts there to his mother. That's what was my question. I mean, there's absolutely no question that this is an authentic piece of work by our acharyas, but my question is only about the characters depicted there in the story.
I really didn't find anywhere that it was like, you know, it's only a fiction story, like from what I heard from these people. From these people in the sense the Maharaj who have given seminar, I'm sorry to say people, but from these people, from Maharajas who have given the seminar, they really didn't say that Gopa Kumar's story is being used to explain concept. They didn't make that statement. So I don't think it is that way. But again, I didn't hear anything like that so far, that it is a story that was used or to explain a concept. Maybe someone, I don't know, maybe, I know this is, I mean, this is a something that many people, even I have heard say that, but when I heard the seminars of these respectable people, they didn't say that it was a story that was used to explain something, so far, as much as I have heard. Okay, Mataji?
Yeah, thanks so much for clarifying. Really, that helped, because I've heard, like you said, the other versions. And
I've heard people even say, you know, to an ex, I mean, like, sorry to say this, but then I've even heard some people state, oh, Sanatan Goswami is actually Gopa Kumar and he is doing some, you know, he's talking about himself. This is one statement I've heard from devotees, which was quite shocking. But none of the Maharajas who had given these seminars mentioned any imagination to this. They just said, this is what it is, you know, like, this is the history, this is how it is. We don't take it as a fiction. That's all. That's the only comments I heard. Maybe I, this is all I know.
Krishna Priti Vilasini Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
In later on in this Gop Kumar story, later on his name is revealed. Gop Kumar's name. Krishna says,
he reveals the past.
Yes, the name. Krishna himself remains the name. And when so when he goes to Vrindavan, and when they meet Krishna, and he sees Krishna coming back in the evening from the Tastaringa with the cows and friends. So that time, they both embrace Krishna and this Gopa Kumar. And they both become unconscious with him. And then they fell down, both of them. And then finally, somebody said, oh, he's a demon. And they were trying to kind of punish him or something, but they were unconscious anyway. So then Balaram said, no, no, don't worry about it. And Balaram wakes Gop Kumar first, and then Gop Kumar, and I asked Gop Kumar to awaken Krishna by his name and something like that, and he wakes up. And then he embraces him and he says he is a Gopa Kumar from the Sridham's family, descendant. And Krishna says, you are born from the, you know, Sridham's family tradition, like that. His ancestor, Sridham is ancestor. And he says the name, but I forgot the name, It's in my, but it doesn't come out. So he's revealing in that, in a Slup Kumar story. So we should wait
until
then.
What Kamadaji Mataji is saying is perfectly right. So, Kamadaji Mataji, with your permission, I'll just put your words in a sentence. But, you know, what she's saying is perfectly right. Even I heard when Guru Maharaj was giving the lecture, he was giving seminar. So, Gop Kumara's story is not fiction. It's real. And as Kamadaki Mataji is saying, later on, it's been revealed that how when Gop Kumara reached to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna felt unconscious and everybody thought that some demon again came and attacked. But it was Gop Kumara, and Balaram said, pacified everybody, that's not a demon. And then Krishna revealed that he's from a Sridham family, an ancestor. Okay.
Meaning?
His friend, Sridham, right?
Yeah.
Gop Kumara's name has been revealed that he is from a Sridham family. And he took so long to come here. And that's why seeing him, Krishna, actually just in a reciprocational stage, Krishna felt unconscious because he was literally waiting for him to come back.
So it is Sridham.
Yeah, Sridham. But the story is real, and also Maharaj was telling that how, you know, he was guided by his spiritual master, and even his spiritual master has to come back because, again, it said, right, till the time that the disciple doesn't go home back to Godhead, even spiritual master has to come back. So even Gop Kumara's spiritual master was, every time he was coming back, just to guide him. So I asked this question from Guru Maharaj, that, you know, how far this sentence is true. And then Guru Maharaj, I think so he heard, he understood my intention, that I want to say that till the time I don't go home back to Godhead, so you will also come back. So Maharaj just said, you don't worry about the spiritual master, just focus on your own family.
Thank you, Mataji.
It's a true story. And secondly, as you said, that Parikshit Maharaj narrated to Uttarayana, as Mataji was asking. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj was already on a verge of, you know, he was already on, basically, you can say, on a deathbed, because it was just 7 days. And he heard Bhagavatam. So he doesn't have that whole time to narrate the whole Bhagavatam, right, to Uttara, Mother Uttara. And secondly, as Prabhupada always used to say, that they, on those days, especially the women, you know, they were, for them, basically, these Puranas and Itihasas are written. That means they have to be, you know, explained everything in a story form.
Story format, correct. Yeah.
So he cannot give the whole philosophical understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he explained the whole philosophy in a story form, which was, as you said, later revealed by Madan Mohan to Sanatan Goswami.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you both. Thank you both for the, for, you know, describing the climax of the story. Thank you. Thank you so much.
But don't think the picture is ended, okay? We are still waiting for it.
No, that's what, you know, in one Maharaj was saying that this Brihad Bhagavatam, the way Sanatan Goswami has written it, that he reveals who the topmost devotee is in the first few verses itself. And he reveals that everything in the beginning itself, you know. So they were giving this comparison. There are two types of writing a book. In one style is that you keep the suspense till the end, and then you reveal the suspense at the end. The other thing is you say, this is what it is. This is the suspense. Now hear how it happened. So that is the style of Sanatan Goswami's writing. So if you both have revealed the book, the end of the book, that is even better for us, because we'll be looking forward to reading it very nicely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanut Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I don't know anything about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Just I heard the Gokumar story, but you all you explained so nicely, Mataji. It two part you were telling us in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What is this? Mm-hmm. In the two part you were telling, Mataji?
One part is one story where Narada Muni, he goes from one devotee to the other to find out who is the recipient, greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. That is one part. And then he finds out obvious answer of Gopis of Vrindavan, right? So he finds out that answer and he's happy. That is one part. The second part is the description of the story of Gopakumar going to Goloka Vrindavan, how he goes to different abodes, how he interacts with different devotees, then how he goes even to Vaikuntha, and there also he is not happy. And then finally, how he understands, you know, the place that he belongs to, and he understands the glories of Goloka Vrindavan. So there, what happened, final scene is what Kamariki Mataji and Ketada Mataji were discussing. The final scene at the end of book two. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes. Can you explain again, Mataji, because this Gopakumara, how I could not understand. Maybe my mind was not focused. Some family or something, Mataji. Can you explain one time more for me, Mataji?
The identity of the Gopa is actually revealed to be... Yeah, go ahead, Mataji.
No, Gopakumar, I'm asking how he was from the Sridham family or something. Yes, Mataji was telling. Can you tell me again, Mataji, what that?
That's Mataji, Ketida Mataji or Komodaki Mataji, one of you want to say that?
Well, Krishna, when Gopakumar goes... after traveling all the different planets and all, you know, he goes even out in the spiritual world, Dutuli and Narayan, you know, Vishnu, where Vishnu's expansions are. I mean, Krishna's expansion in Vishnu form. And he travels from there to Ayodhya, and from Ayodhya to Dwarka, and from Dwarka to Mathura. But because of the fear of concern, he doesn't want to stay there, he just goes to Vrindavan. And then when they meet, that's when Krishna reveals his identity, Gopakumar's identity, who he is. And he said, I was waiting for all this time, very long time I've been waiting. And finally he arrived. So like that's what also we have heard, devotees explain that Krishna is waiting for us, stretching his hands. So like in the beam, see Lord Jagannath's hands outstretched to receive all the devotees. So that's how he says, I was waiting for you. So we should wait. It would be very nice, wonderful. It is wonderful. Very, very nice book. Very nice story. It's a story, but it's actual story. Sometimes we say, you know, I will tell you a story, and then sometimes we say a story about, oh, something, this one, there was a king, and then queen, and then this happened, and that happened, like that. But this is a real story, so we should take it as it is. And Krishna, I don't know how I this doesn't come the name of Gopakumar, but all throughout the stories he's mentioned as Gopakumar, and then when he goes to there and when he meets Krishna, then Krishna reveals his name. And he says that you are the bone of the Sridham family. So that's what.
Yes, thank you so much, Mataji.
It would be this. I didn't want to say anything, but then it was just going on, then it was kind of funny, so then I said, let me just say a little bit. I wanted to hear, you know, just really hearing, that's very good. Bhagavata katha, Vishnu, Krishna katha, devotee katha, bhakta katha. Nice to hear when Prabhupada katha, also I just like to hear Prabhupada. Very, very wonderful. Everybody's reading and they're saying that realization, reflects on it. It's very, very wonderful. Really. Okay. You know, later on, I think we will also, the people will say, well, is that Prabhupada a real king? Is that a real person? Is this a real story about Prabhupada? It will happen. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. Your mercy and Kritida Sundari Mataji's desire and Priti Mataji's revealing. Very fortunate. Thank you so much, Mataji.
It's not that. It's all of you. This design. We all design. And it was just manifested. The design through ours. Like that. And Priti Vilasini Mataji. She is the one. I mean, he took up the task. I'm saying he. How sorry. Jana Sharma. That's what his name. I think it's Jana Sharma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji. Everyone together. Yes.
Thank you so much, Pamadaki Mataji, for sharing. Mataji, can you share again the name?
Jana Sharma. J A N A H T R M A. Jana Sharma. I don't know. Maybe if you have the book, you can look there.
Yeah. Sure, Mataji. Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, I think that was the name. That was. Anyway, thank you, Kirtama.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. This, I miss, who is this, I think it's a Jana Sharma person, who is that? Kamodhi Mataji, she just...
The Gopakumar's name is Jana Sharma. I think that's what it comes into my mind. But I think it's a name. That's the name, Jana Sharma.
Okay, and so, and he is someone in Sri Ram's family. We don't know who, but someone in his family, right?
Yeah, he's born in the Sri Ram's family.
And this Sri Ram is Radharani's brother, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Actually, Preeti Mataji, I had a few questions also. Well, for one thing, let me just say that, you know, there's just this just the introduction itself was so wonderful. You know, and it's only the introduction, so I'm really looking for, you make me very much look forward to your narrating this story. Do you have a schedule for when you will be continuing, or is it not determined?
It is not determined, Mataji. It depends whenever we have a vacant slot, I can pitch on.
Oh.
Like how we did the previous few seminars, similarly.
Yeah, okay. also, a couple of things just to repeat, just for repetition. You said that Sanatan Goswami, you gave the original names for, I guess, the birth names of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and their brother Vallabha, right?
Yeah,
so can you just repeat, like, Sanatan's name was what?
Amaradev, Amar.
Amara.
Yeah.
And Rupa was what?
Santosh.
Uh-huh. And how about Vallabha?
They say only Vallabha. They don't say anything else. Was the birth name, and later his name was changed to Anupam. That's what I got. Yeah.
So Amara. Amara was M-A-A-R-A, right?
A-M-A-R-A. Yeah, Amara. Mm-hmm. Amara Dev.
Yeah. Okay, and so, yeah, another repetition question is the first part of Brihadbhagavatamrita is Narada trying to understand who is the greatest devotee, and the second part is Gopa Kumar's journey trying to find the topmost, I don't know if we should say planet or location in...
It's more like Gopa Kumar's journey to Goloka Vrindavan. That's where he belongs to and his journey. Yeah. And it also reveals the beauty of Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. The last thing I want to ask you about is... okay, so let me see. Pariksit, just to reiterate this storyline, Pariksit Maharaj, of course, heard Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, and then his mom wanted to hear, the essence, I guess. Or, not the essence, but he had to say it in short form. Pariksit had to tell his mom, the essence of... And so when he was... What was the... he was going to be...
Dead.
He was going to be dead. He was trying to focus his mind on Krishna. Right, so I guess he was just maybe sitting in meditation, waiting for this snake bird to come and bite him.
Yeah.
And so while he's just sitting there, his mom comes and she asks him to tell her she was nowhere in the audience at all, I guess, when Shukadev was telling
the Bhagavatam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was not in the audience. Yes. And then last a few minutes before the death, actually she comes there, and Maharaj also explains that it's like expansion of time. Though like we say, okay, the Bhagavad Gita, in the middle of the war field, he gives this example, Bhakti Vidya Pund Maharaj gives those examples. He says,
which Maharaj? You said which Maharaj is this thing?
Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj. Mayapur, the one who takes care of. I hope I'm saying it was him, or maybe it was Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, one of the two. Anyway, they gave this example of how Arjuna was. In the middle of the battlefield, Arjuna asked Krishna questions and Krishna spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita. It was like almost on the verge of the battlefield when the battle is about to begin. So there is, when this conversation was happening, there was some sense of an expansion of time factor on the situation between Arjuna and Krishna. So similarly, we understand that there was some kind of an expansion of time in the last minute before Pariksit gave up his body. That's how Maharaj explained the coming of Uttara and the conversation. Yeah.
That's Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj explaining
that. He was explaining that, yeah.
Okay, and so, and then, I guess, while Pariksit Maharaj was giving this story to his mother, how should I say this now? He was saying this to his mother. And is it that Jaimini Rishi, he was hearing Parikshit Maharaj told this story to the mother, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, chronologically, the Parikshit's son, Janamejaya, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, he was not around.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was. I don't know what his age was, or I don't know if it happened much later. But so Jaimini Rishi then later tells. Now this narration to Janamejaya is that narration, is that somewhere? Is that in the Mahabharata or what?
Yeah, so Jaimini actually is known to have given one Mahabharata to Janamejaya, who's the son of Parikshit. See, basically the Mahabharata that we have, right, we know of, is a conversation between a sage called as Vaishampayana, and he's telling the story to Janamejaya during Janamejaya's Sarpa Yajna. Janamejaya was doing a Sarpa Yajna. That time, Vaishampayana came, stopped him, and told him the entire story of Mahabharata. That is the context of the Mahabharata that we all read. But there is also the Acharyas, like Sanatana Goswami, they reveal to us that there are different versions of Mahabharata. One version is the conversation between Jaimini Rishi and Janamejaya. The appendix of that conversation is actually the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Just like how the appendix of the Vaishampayana's Mahabharata is Harivamsha Purana, Harivamsha Purana is actually an appendix to the Mahabharata that we read. Okay, and what is there in Harivamsha Purana is the pastimes of Krishna. That's how we get pastimes of Krishna from Mahabharata. So Vaishampayana speaks one Mahabharata to Janamejaya. The appendix of that book is Harivamsha Purana. Similarly, Jaimini Rishi speaks one version of Mahabharata to Janamejaya. The appendix of that book towards the end is actually Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is what Sanatana Goswami reveals.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to replay this recording. Get that. Okay, yeah, so yeah, I'm going to have to repeat this, but can you spell, I can't even say his name. No, not that one. That one. Yeah, how do you spell that name?
V-A-I- S-H Vaishampayana, A-M-P-A-Y-A-N-A, Vaishampayana.
Who is that personality, Vaishampayana?
He was one of the sages in the Mahabharata. In the beginning, his introduction is there, but I have not read it in great length, so I don't know much details, but he's one of the sages. Yeah.
Okay. And just one last thing is that you were saying that this Jaimini Rishi, there was a theistic side and a non-theistic side.
Jaimini Rishi is known for more of his Purva Mimamsa. In Vedas, there are two sections, the Purva Mimamsa and the Uttara Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa is more about doing rituals, demigod worship, etc. And talking about material science, like lot of things in the world. It is not really discussing about the Lord or about God. It doesn't discuss about the Supreme Lord. So Jaimini is known to be an expert in that side of the Vedas. He's not known much for his understanding of the Vedanta, which is more on the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's what, oh. This is some revelation from Sanatan Goswami, that Jaimini has this side as well.
Okay, all right. Wow. Well, yeah, really wonderful introduction. Thank you so much. Looking forward. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Glory to all the Maharajas who are giving such good seminars. Yeah. I hope I'm repeating everything properly. I just hope I don't conclude something that is not their conclusion. So I pray that I say it as it is. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you all so much again for such a wonderful participation. Thank you so much for all the insights that everyone gave. Thank you. Please correct me when I go wrong. Please add. Feel free to add whatever you think is useful for all of us to learn from. So we can end the call now.
Thank you for your decision. Now we can end the call.
Janavi, you want to